The first time something breaks, it is never planned. A hinge snaps, a handle splits, a machine stalls with half the job done and daylight running out. You look around for a place to fix it and realize you do not have one. Not really. Tools scattered, no clear bench, no light where your hands need to be, power coming from a cord you do not trust. This is where frustration turns into risk. A homestead workshop is not about hobbies or comfort. It is about control. It is where repairs happen when stores are closed and weather is coming. It is where mistakes cost skin, time, or money you cannot waste. You work tired. You work cold. You work under pressure. If the space is wrong, the tools fight you. If the setup is sloppy, small jobs turn dangerous fast. You are not building a shop to look good. You are building it so work gets done and you walk away intact. Chapter 1. The space and the risks. You do not start by buying tools. You start by standing still and looking at where the work will happen. This is the part most people rush, and it is where most problems begin. The space decides how safely you move, how long you last, and how much damage a bad day can do. You may already have a structure, a garage with boxes stacked high, a shed leaning a little more each winter, a corner of a barn where light barely reaches the floor. You may have nothing but open ground and a plan. All of these can work. None of them are automatically safe. You begin by asking what the space can handle, not what you want it to become. You step inside and move your body as if the work has already started. You reach forward. You step back. You turn with your arms extended. If you feel boxed in now, it will be worse with material in your hands. Measure the space by movement, not by tape alone. You need room to lift without twisting and to step away when something goes wrong. If you cannot take two full steps back from a bench position, the space is already compromised. Power is the next pressure point. Many homestead workshops begin with extension cords and borrowed outlets. That can work at first, but only if you respect the limits. You need to know exactly what the space can supply without overheating wires or tripping breakers. If you do not know, you assume the lowest safe limit and build around that. Overconfidence here starts fires. You place power where your body naturally works, not where the outlet happens to be. Cords across walkways become traps when you are tired or carrying weight. If a cord must cross a path, it must be anchored or rerouted. Loose cords are not temporary problems, they are delayed injuries. Light comes before comfort. A single overhead bulb creates shadows that hide blade edges and misaligned cuts. You prioritize light at working height. You want to see your hands clearly without leaning forward or blocking the beam with your shoulders. Poor lighting does not just slow work. It causes mistakes that cannot be undone. Airflow matters even when you are not running loud machines. Dust builds quietly. Fumes linger longer than you expect. Heat rises and cold sinks. You stand where you would normally work and notice what the air does. If dust hangs in place, it will enter your lungs. If fumes drift toward your face, you change the layout or the ventilation. You never assume the door alone is enough. Every workshop needs zones, even small ones. You do not label them with signs, you enforce them with layout. Cutting happens in one area. Grinding or sanding happens away from storage. Sparks never travel toward stacked materials or fuel. You keep a clear exit path that stays clear even when a project is half finished and your patience is thin. If you have to step over clutter to leave, the space is unsafe. Flooring is not about appearance. It is about fatigue and traction. Dirt floors feel forgiving until they turn uneven and hide sharp debris. Concrete is strong but unforgiving on joints and dangerous when wet. Wood absorbs shock but requires inspection for rot and flecks. Mats can help, but only if they lie flat and do not slide. You walk the floor in work boots and notice where your footing changes. That is where injuries begin. Weather finds its way into every space eventually. Rain blows sideways. Heat warps tools. Cold stiffens hands. Humidity ruins materials silently. You look for gaps where water enters and where rodents follow. You seal what you can and plan storage to keep critical items off the floor. A workshop that floods once is a warning. A workshop that floods twice is a failure. Fire risk is not a theory. It is a certainty given enough time. You plan for it early. You keep ignition sources away from dust and storage. You place extinguishers where you can reach them without crossing the danger. You keep exits clear and never lock yourself into a corner with a project. You rehearse the movement in your head. If something ignites, where do you step? What do you grab? Where do you go? If you cannot answer quickly, you adjust the space. Noise and vibration matter more than people admit. A small enclosed room amplifies sound until it becomes disorienting. Vibration travels through floors and walls and loosens fasteners over time. You account for this by spacing heavy work away from living areas when possible and by anchoring surfaces properly. Your body is part of the system. If the space forces you to hunch, reach overhead repeatedly, or twist under load, it will wear you down. Fatigue leads to shortcuts. Shortcuts lead to injuries. You adjust heights and clearances now because later you will be too invested to change them. Storage is not yet the focus, but you still account for where materials will wait. Stacks against walls become falling hazards. Leaning boards shift when brushed by a shoulder. You plan vertical and horizontal space so nothing rests where it can move unexpectedly. You also think about what happens when the job goes wrong. A blade binds, a piece slips, a fastener snaps. You need space to react without striking something behind you. The workshop must forgive mistakes, because mistakes are guaranteed. You do not aim for perfection. You aim for survivability. Before any tool enters the space, you clean it out completely. Old junk hides problems. You remove everything that does not belong. You sweep, level, and reset. This is not busy work. It forces you to understand what the space truly offers. Only then do you commit. At the end of this process, you should be able to stand in the empty workshop and feel calm instead of cramped. You should know where danger lives and how you will avoid it. You should know the limits of power, light, air, and movement. If the space passes that test, you move forward. If it does not, you fix the space before it fixes you. Chapter 2, the core setup. Once the space is controlled, the pressure shifts. Now the workshop has to work with you instead of against you. This chapter is where most people overspend, overbuy, or copy someone else's setup without understanding why it works for them. You avoid that by building the shop around how your body moves and how your hands actually work. The heart of the workshop is the primary workbench. Everything else supports it. If the bench is wrong, no tool will save you. You set the bench height to your body, not to a number you found somewhere else. Stand straight. Let your arms hang naturally. Bend them slightly. That is your working height. Too low and your back will ache before noon. Too high and you lose control and leverage. You test this before the bench is permanent, because changing it later costs time and frustration. Stability matters more than size. A wide bench that shifts under load is a liability. You want mass, anchoring, or both. If the bench moves when you strike, cut, or clamp, it will betray you at the worst moment. You anchor it to a wall, the floor, or give it enough weight that movement is impossible. You do not chase perfection. You chase predictability. The surface must take abuse. You will cut into it, burn it, spill on it. That is expected. A bench that looks too nice encourages hesitation. You want a surface you are not afraid to use hard. Damage is not failure here. It is proof of work. Once the bench is set, you decide what tools must live within arm's reach. These are the tools you use every day. Cutting tools, measuring tools, striking tools, fastening tools. If you have to turn away from the bench for them, your flow breaks and mistakes creep in. You group tools by function, not by how they look on the wall. Measuring tools stay together so you do not mix standards or lose accuracy. Cutting tools stay controlled and separated from general clutter. Striking tools stay where you can grab them without looking. You do not overload this zone. Too many tools in reach create confusion and accidents. If you hesitate before grabbing, something is out of place. Power tools require discipline. You only bring in what the space and power can support safely. More power does not equal better work. It often means faster mistakes. You choose tools that match the scale of your projects and the limits of your electrical supply. Every power tool has a home. It is either in use, cooling down, or stored. There is no third state. Leaving tools plugged in or balanced awkwardly is how injuries happen when you are tired. You control cords aggressively. Loose cords snag feet and pull tools off benches. You route them overhead, along walls, or secured to surfaces. If a cord must move, it moves deliberately. Clamping is where control becomes visible. If you try to hold material with one hand while working with the other, you are already behind. you install clamping options early, a vise that does not flex, hold down points on the bench, temporary clamps within reach. Good clamping turns dangerous jobs into manageable ones. Poor clamping turns simple work into a fight. Sharp tools demand respect and structure. You create a clear zone for them. They are never mixed into general storage. Blades are protected when not in use. Edges face away from hands. You know exactly where every sharp tool is at all times. You never toss a sharp tool onto a bench and hope for the best. Consumables are quiet time thieves. Fasteners, abrasives, adhesives, lubricants. If they are scattered, you waste time searching and substitute the wrong thing under pressure. You organize them by type and size so your hands can move without thinking. You label if needed, but more importantly, you place them consistently. Consistency prevents mistakes when you are rushing or working in low light. Personal protective equipment is not stored across the room. It lives where the hazard exists. Eye protection near cutting and grinding. Hearing protection near loud tools. Gloves where handling rough or hot material is unavoidable. Respiratory protection where dust or fumes appear. If you have to walk away to get protection, you will skip it eventually. The shop must remove that temptation. You think about weight next. Heavy tools and materials live low. Lifting above shoulder height invites injury. You plan storage so nothing heavy needs to be lifted while twisting or reaching. When something must be lifted, you have space and footing to do it safely. You test this with empty containers first. If it feels awkward now, it will be dangerous later. Noise control is not about comfort alone. Loud environments create fatigue and mask warning sounds. You position loud tools away from reflective corners when possible. You dampen vibration with mats or isolation where it makes sense. You protect your hearing every time, not just when it feels loud. You also consider cleanup as part of setup. Dust collection does not need to be complex, but it must exist. You decide how debris will be captured or removed before it spreads. You keep a broom, brush, or vacuum ready and visible. A clean shop is not about pride. It is about seeing hazards before they hurt you. You build habits into the layout. If returning a tool is easier than leaving it out, you will return it. If storage is awkward, clutter will win. You design for the version of yourself that is tired, cold, and frustrated, because that version will use the shop most often. The workshop should feel quiet when no one is in it. Tools at rest, clear surfaces, nothing waiting to fall or roll. When you walk in, you should know immediately what can be worked on and what needs attention. By the end of this chapter's work, the shop no longer feels empty. It feels ready, not crowded, not impressive. Ready. You now have a bench that holds, tools that serve instead of distract, storage that supports speed and safety, protective gear that is impossible to ignore. The question now is not whether you can work here. The question is whether you can keep it working day after day without slipping into bad habits. That pressure comes next. Chapter 3. Workflow, discipline, and growth. You have space. You have tools. You have a bench that holds and storage that works. That is the foundation. The difference between a workshop that survives and one that becomes a trap is how you use it every single day. Setup alone does not create safety or efficiency. Habits do. Discipline does. Routine does. Start with workflow. Everything moves in a sequence from raw material to finished product. You do not shuffle pieces back and forth. You do not carry half-finished work across the room to retrieve something you forgot. You walk through the process mentally first. Pick up the material, place it on the bench, measure, cut, shape, assemble, inspect, store. Every step must follow logically from the last. If it does not, the layout or process needs changing before work begins. A proper workflow reduces accidents. Fewer trips mean fewer chances to trip. Fewer handoffs mean less chance of dropping sharp or heavy items. It also means work finishes faster and with less fatigue. Fatigue is a hidden danger. Even simple mistakes can become severe when your muscles and mind are tired. Daily routines are non-negotiable. You open the shop the same way each day and close it the same way. Lights on. Check airflow. Inspect cords. Sweep the floor. Check tools. Closing is even more critical. Power down machines. Sweep debris. Inspect cutting edges. Return tools. Store consumables. Lock storage if needed. Skipping these steps is an invitation for small problems to grow into big ones overnight. Cleaning is part of discipline. A workshop is not a battlefield you leave strewn with debris. A broom or vacuum is as important as a hammer. Dust collects in corners, under benches, behind machines. Sawdust hides splinters, sparks, and tripping hazards. Sharp edges left in sawdust are waiting for an accident. You clean at the end of each session and schedule a deep clean weekly. Maintenance is another pillar. Tools degrade silently. A dull blade cuts poorly and can grab material unexpectedly. A loose clamp moves when you rely on it. A drill bit overheats and snaps. Every tool has a maintenance schedule. Sharpen, lubricate, inspect, tighten, replace. You do this on your schedule, not when the problem arrives. Problems caught early never escalate. Problems ignored always do. Waste management is part of workflow, not afterthought. Scrap pieces, spent abrasives, adhesives, empty containers, all must have designated spots. Burnables go together. Metal scrap goes together. Hazardous substances go in a safe, clearly labeled container. Disorganized waste creates confusion and invites accidents. One misplaced pile can trip you, roll underfoot, or catch fire. Seasonal adjustments are essential. Summer heat can warp materials and make working uncomfortable. Cold can stiffen your body and tools. Moisture can corrode metal, warp wood, or ruin adhesives. You adapt. Adjust ventilation, bring in heaters or fans, check storage for moisture, rotate materials based on humidity. A workshop that ignores seasons will break you before the tools fail. Habits are more important than gear. One safety rule consistently applied is more valuable than 10 rules half followed. You train your hands, your eyes, your instincts. PPE is never optional. You put on gloves, glasses, ear protection, respirators as routine, not when you feel like it. You follow procedures even when tired or frustrated. Skipping them once teaches your body to skip them again. Expansion comes only after stability. Once workflow is solid, maintenance routines are established, and safety is habit, you consider adding more tools, benches, or work zones. Expansion without discipline invites chaos. Each new element must fit seamlessly into workflow. Does it make work easier or harder? Does it introduce a new risk? You answer these questions before acquisition, not after injury. Resilience is built slowly. A resilient workshop continues functioning when time is short, money is tight, or energy is low. You organize for minimal intervention during emergencies. Essential tools are accessible. Safety equipment is visible. Critical consumables are stocked. Non-essential extras are stored or delayed. A resilient shop is predictable, even when you are not. You also adapt for mental pressure. Work rarely happens when everything is perfect. You will be tired, angry, or rushed. The shop must allow you to move safely and make decisions under stress. Clear pathways, logical layout, and predictable tool placement reduce cognitive load. You do not have to think about where something is when your mind is half on another problem. Predictability is a form of safety. Documentation is underrated. You note the placement of tools, sequences of workflow, maintenance schedules. This is not bureaucracy. It is insurance. When routines are disrupted, illness, help, or a rare project, the written workflow prevents mistakes. Notes about which tools need sharpening, which clamps are critical, which materials are preferred for certain tasks, save hours and prevent accidents. Review your workshop periodically. Walk through each zone. Test clamps. Check cord paths. Inspect storage. Adjust lighting. Ask yourself if the workflow still makes sense or if fatigue or frustration is creeping in. Do this even if nothing seems wrong. A system left unchecked degrades silently. Finally, growth is measured not in tools, but in efficiency, safety, and consistency. Can you complete a project without tripping over anything, losing time, or compromising safety? Can a helper enter the shop and understand the flow immediately? If yes, you are growing. If no, you refine before adding complexity. Growth without control is chaos waiting to happen. By the end of this chapter, you have transformed the workshop from a collection of benches and tools into a system that supports you. Space, core setup, and workflow are no longer separate. They work together. Each element reinforces the other. Movement is logical. Tools are predictable. Hazards are managed. Maintenance is routine. Safety is habit. Expansion is deliberate. The true test comes when the shop is full of projects, half-finished work, and multiple tools in use at the same time. The room does not feel chaotic. Your body moves without hesitation. Mistakes are caught early. You walk away at the end of the day knowing nothing broke, no one was hurt, and everything is ready for the next session. That is control. That is discipline. That is a homestead workshop that lasts. If any single part fails, the bench shifts, tools are missing, the workflow is inconsistent, the entire system falters. You are never done checking, never done improving. Complacency is the only true enemy in a space designed for hard work. The pressure never leaves. It keeps you sharp. It keeps the workshop alive. It keeps you walking out at the end of each day intact, ready for the next challenge, and confident that the space is yours, not a liability. Your work is safe. Your space is disciplined. Your habits are hard-earned. And the workshop finally feels like what it is meant to be, a tool for mastery, survival, and growth.